Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, and are but like chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. We appreciate, dear Lord, so much how what you've done for us. As Alex said this morning, dear Lord, we need to preface our prayers to you with an attitude of gratitude and thanking you, dear Lord, for your salvation, for your sacrifice for our sins. And dear Lord, as we think about that, then we realize, dear Lord, you have a purpose for us. You did not just inadvertently do this. There's a reason behind it, dear Lord, and it is your eternal purpose. And we are involved in all that. And dear Lord, we need to know this morning from your word how that we can be truly blessed. And we need to know what it means. So now would you speak to each of our heart. Thank you, dear Lord, for each one who's here this morning. We give you the honor and praise for all that we do. Thank you, dear Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. We got a lot of babies here this morning. 1, 2, 3 babies. That's good. And then we got children. Half our church is children. There's nothing wrong with that. People say, well, half our church is children. I said, well, praise the Lord. I'm grateful for that. I go into, back. By the way, when I was back east, I was in a number of churches. And, you know, I thank God for the faithfulness of people. But many of those churches were people, older people, okay? And a lot of those churches had hardly any young people at all. And that's kind of sad. In fact, it's not kind of sad. It is very sad that the young people were not attending the church and with their parents and grandparents like they should. And so maybe they've fallen by the wayside. But I thank God that Calvary Baptist Church has a very good mix of old people and young people. And Carol and I, we're the old people, okay? and you folks are the young people. And we love you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being your faithfulness to the Lord. Now, Psalm chapter 1 answers the questions of how Christ gives us his blessings and how we might gain them. Just because they're there in Christ's offices does not necessarily mean that people benefit from them and avail themselves of God's blessings. So it must be understood that the blessings of God are for those who are his children. Now let's grab that thought and understand it and that truth. He's not writing this to an unsaved world. In fact, there's a great contrast here, as we shall see, between the ungodly and those who reject God and those who believe and put their trust in him. So, by faith, those who receive the blessings of God have first established a relationship with God. They do that by believing, putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They see themselves as sinners. They see themselves separated by sin from their God and Creator. And then they realize that Jesus Christ was sent by God to this world, his son, to die on that cross, to pay this debt that we owed, because we as sinners could not atone for our own sins. We couldn't pay for our own sins. So God did that for us in the person of Jesus Christ. And then he freely offers us salvation if we'll just believe it, if we'll just accept it, and if we will take what he's offered, his free offer of gift of grace for us. So, if you're here this morning, you're a child of God, there was a point in time in your life that you understood these things. There was a point in time in your life that you repented of your sins and you ask Jesus Christ to save you, and the Bible says God certainly did that. He expresses it this way in Romans chapter 10, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, and let's go back and look at one part of that. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto salvation. This is not some casual intellectual process here by which we give consent to something that we think may be true. This is a heartfelt belief. And a heartfelt belief changes our lives. This is not addressed to unbelievers, because an unbeliever has not accepted God in his life. And he's not repented of his sin. He's at odds with God. The unbeliever is a sinner who ignores who his Creator is. He lives for himself and his own selfish desires, and is rejecting the wonderful mercy and grace of God. Accept it. That's what the sinner is. And that's what he's doing. So God cannot help such a person, because they separate themselves from God. Now, they might want the blessings of God, but they don't want God. You see? Turn with me back to the Gospel of John and look at what Jesus said in chapter 3. You've heard me quote this many, many times and read it from the Scriptures many, many times. John chapter 3. We want to look, beginning in John chapter 3, verse 16. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on the Son, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then Jesus explains why people don't run in mass to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. And then he gives a contrast, as always does. You find, every time you find a condemnation in Scripture of sinners, you find an offer and a mention and of God's grace. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So, again, this is not addressed to unbelievers. It's addressed to believers. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that you can live receiving the blessings of God within your life? I never will forget my mother. In fact, she was well known for this phrase. She made it hundreds and hundreds of, probably thousands of times. And you weren't around my mother very long before she said, I'm the most blessed person on earth. And I would talk to people who knew my mother, people in the rest home and everything, in the years that she stayed there before she passed away. And they would tell me, said, your mother says she's the most blessed person in the world. And I believe that's the truth. However, to the believer, the truly born again child of God, this is a foundation that can prove to us and show us that we can be successful and productive and fruitful and live a satisfied life. It can be a happy life. But I use the word satisfied here, because it may not be a happy life due to circumstances that we have. So, happiness is an emotion. And there's a difference between happiness, an outward happiness, and being happy because everything's going all right, and what the Bible talks about is peace in one's heart and being satisfied and in a right relationship with Jesus Christ and with our God. I can be satisfied in God's presence and in His protection and have His grace in my life in the midst of storms. And you and I know that, don't we? The blessed man, he says here, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, that seems to be something that you would say, well, that goes without saying. Blessed here means a state of prosperity. And it's used 40 times in the Old Testament. 44 times in the Old Testament. And 44 of those times it's used like this. It means prosperity. Now, let's look at prosperity. When we talk about prosperity, we immediately think of money, don't we? Houses and cars and all these things. That's what we immediately think about. And that can make people happy. And these things are not to be shunned. It's wonderful if we have those things. But there's a deeper meaning here. And there's a different word. Being happy is found than is found in the New Testament. A prosperous man may not be happy, but he can be prosperous in the sense that he's in a right relationship with God and that God is working in his life. You can be in the midst of the storms and be prosperous in the sense that this word is used, because you can have God's presence, his strength, and his comfort to comfort and direct you. And this is what it's talking about. It's more than just this superficial, I'm happy kind of thing. A prosperous man, again I said, may not be happy. In Job chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, behold, blessed, and that, I mean happy, and it's the word blessed, it's exactly the same word that we find in Psalms, is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not the chastening of the Almighty. Do you see how the two words are used in different contexts? And that explains to us and gives us a greater understanding of what the word means. The man who has even been chastened by God has God in his life. And he has the attention of God. God's attention is on him. God is seeking to help him in his life. That's a good thing. So God may be working in your life many times and you may not even know it. And this is the point of this. The blessed man has God working in his life, and God has working in his life because he is a child of God. You understand that many times God is not working in people's lives because they won't let him. They push him out, put him in the sidelines and so forth. But it is a wonderful thing when God is working in your life, in the good times and in the bad times. Then he says he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The word means to go along, to enter, to exercise, and it means to behave. And it means how a person is going through his life and is living his life. It goes to his attitude and how he behaves with things. In other words, how he acts. So the man who is walking not in the counsel of the ungodly is a man who is not with those who are sinners. And we shall see that as we go along. But it means he's behaving himself properly because he's not accepting the counsel of the ungodly and those who do not know God, do not worship God, do not respect God, who ignore God in their lives and are living selfish lives. The word counsel means to give advice to someone else. Now, the idea here is that a decision needs to be made. One is seeking good advice. He's seeking someone to help him. It's also, in its context and how the word is used, it is a warning also. Sometimes the advice people give us is a warning. It explains that what we are doing has bad consequences for us and is the wrong path for us to take. So one should accept the advice from a source that can give us godly advice. That means advice that comes from God himself, which is his word, can explain it, can convey that truth to us. You know what? Aided by Satan, sinful men have allowed themselves to be blinded to the counsel of God. Look all around us. People have made themselves false gods. And by the way, I challenge you. Tell me one religion, and I'm saying religion, not biblical Christianity, but tell me one religion that in any way compares to biblical Christianity and the love of God and His mercy and grace toward His creation. They're all working. They're all got all kinds of things within them that are confusing, that are burdensome. The man who has a false religion carries a great weight upon his shoulders that he can never get rid of until he puts himself in submission to Almighty God and believes and puts his faith in Him. So how a man is blessed depends on him stop fighting with God. Quit opposing God and accept God's counsel. Surely we know that what godly, ungodly means, it refers to those who are morally wrong and who are actively being bad people. They're sinning. These are people who are condemned, as Jesus said. They are guilty. They are ungodly. They don't want anybody to tell them anything. They are self-sufficient. I'm going to do it my way. You remember Frank Sinatra and the song he used to sing. And people just thought that was the most wonderful song. And the name of the song is, I Did It My Way. You know, doing it your way is to be guided by a sinful nature. And it is done in the sense of ignoring the counsel of God and of God's Word. Let me tell you something, folks. If something is corrupt, it's corrupt. And man is a corrupt being. Man is born with a sinful nature. And that sinful nature will condemn him to hell. And if he does not accept Christ and receive God's forgiveness, he will spend eternity in hell. And yet the world is going around smiling, you know, I'm going to do it my way. And folks, when that happens, that means that we're seeking the counsel of the ungodly. Folks who are in the mire and the muck themselves. You know, would you go down on one of the bridges down in Salt Lake, and if you go down, you'll see them under the bridges, and they've got these signs, and most of them, by the way, are con artists. That's proven over and over again. Many of those people, you know, one I was telling them making $400 or $500 a day. Panhandling. But you go under the bridge down there and ask those guys, or maybe the guy that's laying in the street, he's a drunk, an alcoholic, and he's laying in all the filth and everything that's there. Would you ask him, sir, I need some advice on how to live my life? That would be foolish, wouldn't it? But just, that is a clear picture of what the world is doing. It's not going to the source of truth. It's not going to the place where we can receive good counsel. Counsel from the one who created us and put all of this that we know in the world, put it together. And it has a plan. And has given us His plan. And He gives us the power to exercise His plan and to use it within our lives. God wants us to prosper. Blessed, He says. Prosperous is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who does not sit in the counsel of the ungodly, who sitteth not in the way of sinners. You know, how many of you remember Dr. Spock? You younger people may not know him, but he was a real popular man, and he was telling all the folks in the 60s and 50s how to raise their children. You don't spank your children. You know, that causes bad things and teaches them violence and everything. And you don't teach them about God. That's what's going on today in our schools. Don't teach them about God. You know, you won't be surprised. There was a firehouse, and there was a sign in there about they had a scripture verse on. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was a scripture verse talking about loving your neighbor and serving him and so forth. It was hanging in a firehouse. And they made them take it down because it was a God, it was a Bible verse. We can't put the Ten Commandments anywhere. They can't be out in public anymore. Huh. What's wrong with the Ten Commandments? The first thing is what the world sees wrong, because it says you'll have no other God except me. You'll have no other God before me. That's kind of a problem for the world who's worshiping every kind of God you can think of. But what's wrong with the Ten Commandments? What's wrong to pattern our lives after the Ten Commandments? Well, you remember what Jesus said? Those who do evil don't come to the light. They hate the light because the light exposes their evil and their sin. Modern philosophy tells us, and by the way, it's been taught down here in the schools of this city, from the youngest grades to the high school. It's been taught in our colleges and universities. What you do is not your fault. If you're failing and you're having problems, it's not your fault. It's your parents' fault. Well, I got a little question for them. I mean, you know, I kind of sometimes think a little bit out of the box. Well, whose fault was it? Who in their parents' situation? I guess it was their parents' fault. And so their parents' fault. Where do you end it? And it's amazing to me that the world hates Christians. And they do. They hate us. They hate us. You don't think the ACLU hates a Christian? They hate us. They're doing everything they can to wipe out the name of Jesus Christ from our society. They're doing everything they can to wipe the teachings of the Bible out of our society. Everything they can. They're working hard at it. Again, why? And what effect is that having? When I grew up, do you know what? We never locked our doors at our house. You say, well, that's a, you know, you old fogey people, that's all, you know, you always bring that up. Well, I think it's important to bring it up. We didn't have to lock our doors. We didn't have to worry about somebody breaking in and stealing or doing mass murders and killing us and everything. The children prayed in the streets. I walk all over town with me and my sisters and so forth. We never had to worry about somebody assaulting us and all these kind of things. We didn't have to worry about gangs. We didn't have any gangs. What's the problem? We listen to Dr. Spock. We listen to modern philosophy. It's not your fault. You're just a poor person who has been abused by your parents and so forth, who spanked you, by the way. Let me just tell you what, my daddy spanked me too. He did more than spank me. He used a belt on my back. On my back end, not my back, but my back end. And when I did wrong, I knew I did wrong, and I knew what was, and I very clearly knew it was wrong. And that had an impression on me. This is not right. Don't do this anymore. And the threat of my daddy's punishing me taught me some important lessons. And later on, as I grew up and my mind began to develop, I began to understand why my daddy didn't want me to do those things. And why he punished me, because they were wrong. They would be destructive within my life. And so he tried to correct me. And by the way, you don't spank your children. You don't correct them. You are doing them a great disservice, and you're disobeying God. You're disobeying God. You spank them. You say, oh, that's a terrible thing. You're doing violence. You don't have to violently correct your child. You know, you can take just a little small child and just spank them on the back with a hand. It don't hurt them. But they know that you disapprove of what they do, and that's the point you're trying to make. It's wrong. But what about, you know, I get so tired of going down to supermarkets and places, and this little kid is running around wide open, tearing down things, throwing things in there. Now don't do that, sugar. And he looks around, and like, you know, most of the time they don't even pay attention to, you know, it's like nothing was ever said. They just keep going as hard as they can go. Finally, their mother will go over and grab them by the shoulder and pull them over and everything, and then they're just squirming and fighting their mother and hitting at their mother. That's the generation that's causing the destruction of this world. They don't know right and wrong because they've not been taught right and wrong. And that's why our political system has failed, because it is being administered by people who don't know right and wrong, and by people who won't stand for it. And then our society is failing. Now, you don't think that it's getting in the forefront. Just turn on your television and look at things that's going on around us. And listen to the commentators. And many of them are saying, America is past its prime. We're over the hump. We're now on a decline that will eventually destroy us. That is the common attitude among most people today. Those who are in the know and who understand things. America is declining at a super fast rate. We're going down the hill as hard as we can go. Why? Because people wouldn't do what they said. They listened to Dr. Spock. They listened to modern philosophy. Why do you think we don't have, marriage is not upheld anymore? Oh, now you're getting political now. This is not political. This is a matter of theology. It's a matter of biblical truth. Homosexuality is a sin. Same-sex marriage is a sin. It's not politically correct to say that. But let me tell you what. Politics be hanged. This Bible is what we are to rule ourselves by and govern ourselves, because it is the Word of God, the one who created and made us. Why can't we see that? I'm going to have to quit. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. Oh, you say, I get so tired of hearing preachers tell me to read my Bible. I hope you don't. He says, the verse boy sits in the seat of the scornful, and I could go on and on about that. I have a friend who I knew 35 years ago, sitting in the seat of the scornful. He immediately began to tell me how stupid I was because I'm a Bible-believing Christian. Now, he says he's a Christian too, but he is of the Reformed faith, and he's of a warped even understanding of that. And he's very proud of his devout Calvinist background and his beliefs and so forth. He is so superior in his intellect, and he looks down his long nose at me because I don't accept his logic, which is what his religion is based on, and his false interpretations of Scripture. He scorned God. He's more intelligent than God is. He changes the Word of God. When God says, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, for he is a propitiation for our sins, but for all the world. Propitiation means full payment. No, that's not true. And so he begins to explain it in a different way. By the way, he's a wonderful Christian, has a wonderful testimony. I walked in his house, hadn't been with him more than 30 minutes, and he offered me a beer. And I said, I don't drink. Okay, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't offend you. No, he didn't offend me. He just showed me who he was. The Bible says don't avoid him. I mean, to avoid them. Avoid the backbiters, the gossipers, the false teaching, the false churches, the false people. Stay away from them. The contrast here is crystal clear. The delight of a Christian, the true child of God, is in the law of God, living by God's Word. That's his delight. I was sharing that this morning in the Sunday school. Let me tell you what, you live by the Word of God, it's going to cause you problems. Because you live in a perverse world. And you live among perverse people. It's like Isaiah said, whoa, he says, I'm a man of unclean lips and I live in the midst of a country and a people of unclean lips. And when did he see that? When he saw the grace and wonderful and majesty of Almighty God. We see that all around us. His delight, though, became the Word of God. And God used Isaiah greatly because of his dedication to the Lord. He didn't accept what the world was doing. He didn't join himself with the perverse people that were around him. So God created us, and in this world we are in, he has a way for us to live. He created physical and spiritual laws. And his spiritual and natural laws have an absolute and a good result, and it also a bad result, absolute bad result, if we break them. You ignore gravity and walk off a cliff, you're going to probably die. What about walking along the edge of a cliff and ignoring the fact that gravity will kill you if you slip off? But you ignore that. You play around with it. Many people do that. They get right on the border and so forth. Instead of making a sharp distinction between right and wrong, they kind of want their foot in both sides. By the way, you can't have that. You're either in one or the other. Break God's spiritual laws, you're going to suffer. And it's going to be, and listen to this, it's going to be an unnecessary result. Let sin direct your life. Others, you're going to suffer. Others are going to suffer with you. I could name 1,000 sins. But the point is, if we live by God's laws, He strengthens us. That man or woman who lives by God's word becomes wise. And they live decent lives. They have God's blessing in their lives. They're prospering in the light of God's word. As Jesus said, He is a light. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Some of the worst failures are in homes. Some of them in businesses and failures. All these things that are plaguing us in our lives. We let people exploit us because we're not wise enough to understand who they are, and that it's the source is bad and is sinful for it's not for us. We get our instructions from God's word in every matter of our life. So the one who is overcoming sin is blessed and is being blessed. And it's one who delights in God's word and he meditates it on day and night. Now, meditation is not some casual activity. It does not mean some occasionally someone thinks about it. It means to have it in one's heart continuously. Let's look in Psalms, and this is, and I'm getting ready to close. Let's look at Psalms 119. Now, if you want to read a psalm that talks about the Word of God and how to apply it within our lives, this one does. Verses 1 through 16. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Undefiled means what? They're separated from the scornful and sinners. And those who give bad counsel. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and seek Him with the whole heart. Not just a casual thing, but with one's whole heart. They also do no iniquity, and they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed. When I have respect unto all Thy commandments, I will praise Thee with an uprighteous heart. When I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments, O keep Thy statutes. I will keep Thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. And we could go on and on and on. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. It's not some casual thing, you know. You pull it up on your iPad or your phone or something and say, well, what am I going to do in this situation? Let me see if I can find something that'll do with this. It's in your heart already. When the temptation comes, you know how to deal with it. You know you're being tempted to do wrong because it's in your heart. God has placed it there. The Holy Spirit of God is showing you what's right and wrong. We have an unction from the Holy Spirit that tells us these things. We have the abiding presence of God in that we have the nature of God in our hearts that have received Him as Savior. And so we know what right and wrong is. And so when the wrong comes, the temptation comes, we have been strengthened by the Word of God. And we turn our backs on it. You're not going to get me. Like Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. And we know when we're being tempted. And let me tell you what, If you don't think temptation is not a glittering thing, oh, it looks so good. And it offers us such wonderful things. And yet the child of God knows in his heart, that's not for me. And he turns his back on it. If you're truly blessed, you can say honestly that you're not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. You're not standing in the way with sinners. Or sitting with the scornful. Do you want to be truly blessed? Man, I do. How much I want to be blessed. A haphazard approach is not going to get it. That's why your pastor, and any pastor, any godly man, any godly Sunday school teacher is going to beg you and challenge you, be faithful to God's Word. Be faithful to His Word in your personal life. And as you're faithful in your word to the Word of God in your personal life, you'll be faithful to God in your church. You'll be faithful to God in your prayer life. You'll be faithful in your giving, your tithes and offerings unto the Lord. And you'll be a testimony in your family and to everyone around you. So often people will not accept God's blessings. What a tragedy that is. The question this morning for us individually, am I wanting to be blessed? Am I seeking God in my life? To let Him be the one who is the captain of my soul, who directs me in all that I do. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we close the service this morning, and as we close this message, little Lord, we know that the Word of God is not bound. I pray that it might abide in each of our hearts this morning as we continue. I pray that it might direct us in all that we do. I pray that the Word of God may have found fruitful ground this morning in each of our lives. And dear Lord, that we will fight and dispel those things in our lives that are not pleasing to You, whatever they may be or to what degree they may be. And we'll thank You, dear Lord, for Your wonderful provision for us. How, dear Lord, how wonderful it is to live within the blessings of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother Andy, what's the song?
Number 388. 388.
The invitation is always simple. You do what God would have you to do in your life. The message has been administered to your heart by the Holy Spirit of God. How do I know that? Because I preach God's Word, and God says His Spirit works with our spirit, and that what we hear and what is applied is what God wants for us. So God is speaking to your heart. The question is, what will you do with God's Word this morning? Folks, if we've got even small things within our life, the degree is not important. Any part of our lives that's not surrendered to the Lord is a detriment to ourselves and to those around us. It dishonors our Lord and Savior, and it destroys our witness for Christ. Would you do what God would have you to do this morning?
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try. Presence, humbly I bow.